Shalom Aleichem. Good evening, everybody. People can hear me? Yeah. Okay. Last year we covered part of Hilchos Shabbos, the dinim of Kiddush and Avdolah and Shalosh Udos and Davening. And this year we started the Malacha. So we started the way the Masechta begins. The opening Mishnah starts with Hoitzor. So we discussed, we didn't discuss fully, we covered a lot of Hoitzor, then we covered a lot of Muktzah, because Muktzah is a Shvus of Hoitzor. That's what derived it. And the Rambam gives a whole explanation, what motivated the Chachamim to introduce the prohibition of Tiltal Muktzah, and the Ravid says, I don't know, and my Gemara says that it's a Shvus of Hoitzor. They don't allow you to handle anything, a piece of junk in the house, the Gzeri Shemba, you'll carry it into the street. So it's a Gzera Mishum Hoitzah. So we covered the highlights of Hoitzah. And then we covered a lot about Bishol and Shehiyah and HaChazara, a little bit about Hatmana. I think now maybe we should go in order of the Malachas. If you have a Mishnah Brura, in the very last page, in the Mishnah Brura, it's the very last Sharat Zion, the Chela Gimel of the Mishnah Brura, he lists off all the Lamed Hes Havas Malachas and he tells you where you can find them in the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll go in order. So the Mishneh and Daf Ayin Gimel lists off the Lamed Hes Malachas. Havas Malachas, HaChoresh, HaZorea, HaChoresh, HaKotzer, and so on. So the Mishneh starts off with Zorea. So the Gemara asks, isn't that out of order? You should first list off Choresh. First you have to plow and then you plant. So why is it out of order? So the Gemara says that Tana Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnahs. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, Rashi explains the karka is kosher. So first they plow, and then they plant, and then they plow a second time to cover over the seeds. So the Mishnah is listing, the Mishnah says, Hazareya HaChoresh, it's Tal Miachidush. Not only Harisha that precedes Riya is a malacha of Harisha, even the second Harisha that they do in Eretz Yisrael to cover over the seeds, that's also included in Malachas Harisha. So that's an issue. The Rambam changed the order. The Rambam put everything in a logical order. Rambam, all the Gemaras are out of order. The Rambam put everything in order. Then if you want to look for a malacha in the Rambam, everything is in a logical order. Harisha, Azariah, Koitzar, Adosh, Amama, everything is in order. In the Shulchan Aruch, everything is out of order again. So you have to have the Mishnah Brura. The last Sharat Zion has to tell you where you can find each malacha. I don't know why, but the Rama has everything b'seder. So the Rama starts off HaChoresh, and then HaZareya. That's the logical law. So the Noisei Kelim asks on the Rambam why he didn't mention the Gemara's Chiddush, that even in Eretz Yisrael, when they do a second Harisha, after they did the Zriya, they do a second Harisha, that too is a malacha. How come the Rambam didn't mention it? So the Menchas Chinuch has a long kuntris on the Lamed Hes Havas Malachas. It's fantastic. So he says, the Rambam said so many other, the Rambam described so many various cases of Harisha, it's understood that this is also included. Okay. So Zanazoi. So the question is a little better than the hint. So how come the Rambam didn't write it? So what exactly is chofer if a person digs a ditch? So the Gemara says, if you choifer ba bayis, you chay mishum bona, and choifer ba sode, is chay mishum choresh. Harisha, by definition, is a hachana lezriya. So if you dig a ditch ba sode, that's zriya. If you actually plan to use the ditch that you dug in order to plant something in it, then it's called amalacha tzricha legufa. If I dig a ditch, I'm just practicing plowing. So I plow the field and I don't plan to actually plant anything in it. I dig a ditch that's right to plant in, but Lamaisa didn't plant anything. So that Taisus would call that a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is a Machlekes HaTanoim, whether it's an Issa Deraisa and Issa Derabanan, and it's a Machlekes HaRishonim HaRapaskin. So Rov HaRishonim Paskin, Machlekes HaBiyuta Reb Shimon, Machlekes HaTanoim. So most of the Rishonim Paskin like Reb Shimon, the Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only an Issa Derabanan, it's not an Issa Deraisa. The Rambam and the Balamor stand out. The Rambam is a major Rishon. The Rambam and the Balamor stand out. They're the two Rishonim who Paskin like Reb Yehuda. The Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is an Issa Deraisa. But we don't follow that opinion. We follow the Rov HaRishonim. The Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanan. What's the definition of Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa? So let's say a person plucks off apples from the tree and he throws them into the garbage. So if you pluck off apples from the tree, plan to eat it. So that's kotzer, and you're going to use the cheftza shel malacha. You just, every malacha you accomplish, you made an accomplishment. So now the apples are on the tree, you can get to them, you can eat them. Now I plucked it off of the tree, now I can eat it. But then after I pluck it off of the tree, I pluck it off and I plan to throw it out in the garbage. So Taisa said that's called malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. So that would be a machlekes habiyudah Reb Shimon. We would pass on that it's only the Rabbanan. And the Rambam would hold that it's an Issa deraisa. So let's say I leave junk in my pocket and I'm carrying in the street. I go to shul and I come home and I'm walking all over on Shabbos, but there's no Erev and I have things in my pocket. I know I'm carrying, but I don't plan to use it in the other location. So if I take a handkerchief and I plan to use it, I may or may not use it in the other location. I want to have a handkerchief just in case I sneeze. That's called a malacha, tzvicha l'gufa. I carried a book or I carried a sefer to read it in the other location. That's a malacha, tzvicha l'gufa. But if I just throw junk out of the house, I'm not going to use it in the other location. So that's called a malacha, shein tzvicha l'gufa. Yeah. How do you define what's the tachlis of every malacha? So that's what Taisvis explains. It depends on the Mishkan. All the lamatas malachas were established based on Hachtahavib Mishkan Chashivik Korelayav. That's the Gemara, the first daf, based on Mir Aleph and Baba Kama. How do you determine what's an Av Malach and what's a Tolda? So the Ovis are the 39 activities that were significant in Asiyas HaMishkan. Not in Hakrobas HaKrabonas, most of the Shanim hold, not in Hakrobas HaKrabonas and Mishkan, but rather in the construction of the Mishkan. So the malachas that were important, Hachtahavib Mishkan Chashiva, important activities in Asiyas HaMishkan are considered malachas. So whatever is sufficiently similar to the Av is considered a tolda that'll also be an Issa deraisa. And how do you determine whether it's Tzricha L'gufa or not, according to Taisa's definition? So Taisa says, you look at the Mishkan. What was the purpose? Let's say in the Mishkan, they planted vegetables in order to use the dye that they'll get out of the vegetables to dye the ureas in the Mishkan. So if you plant something and you plan to use what's going to grow, so that's a malacha, tzvicha l'gufa. You did the malacha for the same type of purpose that the malacha was done in the Mishkan. Well, in the Mishkan, the people brought donations for Asiyas HaMishkan, so they carried from their house, which was a Rishus HaYochid, into the Midbar, into the highways in the Midbar, which had the status of Rishus HaRabim. The Araisa at that time, when Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, when Bnei Yisrael were traveling, the Gemara said the Midbar had a din of Rishus HaRabim, the Araisa. Bizman Hazeh, the Midbar, nobody travels in the Midbar, so it's a Carmelis. But Bizman, Shebnei Yisrael, HaYishruim, Bamidbar, they were traveling on the highway. There were Shishim Reba people there, so it was a thoroughfare. It was a highway, so that was a Rishus HaRabim, the Araisa. So in the Midbar, the Malach of Hoitzo was violated when the people gave donations for Asiyas HaMishkan. So they brought the donations from their home, from the Aholim, from the Rishus HaYochid, into the Rishus HaRabim, and it was going to be used for the purpose of Asiyas HaMishkan. So if you carry something and you don't plan to use it in a new location, that's called a Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLagufa. Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLagufa, we paskan is only a din de Rabbanon. But Reb Shlomo Kluger has a fascinating tshuva. He has a shewi paskan that a shvus, the shvus by makam mitzvah is mutter. Let's say to ask a nochri to do an isa de rabbanon. Amir le nochri on an isa de rabbanon, that's a double de rabbanon. That's a shvus, the shvus. So you don't say it's a gzera l'gzera. We spoke on several occasions. That's not a gzera l'gzera. Gzera l'gzera is if the second gzera was instituted because the chachamim were concerned. What motivated them to make the second gzera was that they were concerned someone's going to violate the first isa de rabbanon. So that's insufficient tzorech. You only have a right to make a gzera de rabbanon if you have a significant tzorech. If you're only concerned that people are going to, once in a yovel, someone's going to be mechal shabbat. That's insufficient tzorech. A milsa de l'shchicha, you have no right to make a gzera. Or even if it is a milsa de l'shchicha, the whole concern is someone's going to violate an isa de rabbanon. So that's insufficient tzorach. You have to have a tzorach gadol to make a gzera de rabban. So that's, you have no right to make a gzera de gzera. And the Prima Gordon points out, based on the Rashi and the first daf in Beitza, that if the Bezdin will make a gzeru, the Bezdin will be in violation of Baal Tosif. They were only authorized by the Torah to make gzeres the Rabbanon if there's a tzarach gadol. There's a tzarach katan, the only concern someone's going to violate a din the Rabbanon, or it's a milsa de l'shchicha, a far-fetched concern that someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos once in a yovel. Someone's going to be Mechal Shabbos, so that's insufficient tzarach. So then the Bezdin who makes such a gzera would be in violation of Baal Tosif, because the Torah didn't authorize him to make a gzera in such a situation. But let's say the Chacham made two separate gzeres. They made an Isar Amir Eliyakum, if you'll allow people to ask the Nochri to do the Malacha. Next thing they know, people will do the Malacha themselves. So they made an Isar Amir Eliyakum. Then they made an Isar de Rabbanon, that you're not allowed to carry in a Karmelis. And if the two combine together to ask a Nochri to carry in a Karmelis, that's a Shvuz de Shvuz. That's a trade de Rabbanon, but that's not called the Gzer el Gzer. So it's a special kula. We have the Gemara in Erev, a special kula. The shvus, but makam mitzvah is mutter. So several of the Galatiana Achrayim from 150 years ago came up with an einfall. In the middle 1800s, they came up with an einfall. The shvus, but makam mitzvah is only mutter if one of the shvusim is amir liyakum. But if everything is al yedei Yisrael, it's a trade de rabbanon al yedei Yisrael, then it wouldn't be mutter. So Chacham Avadya points out, there are many Rishonim who say the Ferish not so. And Taisus, Bekam, says not so. Shlomo Kluger has such a tshuva. He's talking about a situation, a child lost a father, lost a parent, and he wants to go to shul to say Kaddish. He's a little child, a young child, is very far to walk. It's very difficult for the child to walk. But strictly speaking, the child is able to walk. So the din is at Minatora HaChai Nesias Atzmai. But with the Rabbanon, you're not permitted to carry young children, even though they're able to walk on their own. But let's say I'm going to carry the child to shul, so he'll be able to say Kaddish over there. But I'm not going to, usually, I carry something to another location because I plan to use it over there. I'm going to do something to it. But I'm carrying the handkerchief in case I want to use it there. I carry the key in order to open the door when I get home. So I'm carrying something that I plan to use in the new location. But over here, I'm not going to use the child. The child needs a minion to say Kaddish. So I'm going to carry the child. So that's a double the Rabbanon. Neither of them is Amir Eliyakum. And still Rav Shlomo Kluger says that that's a Shvuz de Shvuz b'makam mitzvah. To carry the child, not planning to do anything with the child in a new location, he considers that a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa. When they carried the donations for the Asiyas HaMishkan, so they were carrying them, and then the experts, the Umnim, were going to use them to make the Mishkan. They were going to do something to the donate, what the Zob and the Choshes and the Barzal and everything that they donated. And the Tcheles Ragam and Talas Shani Vashesh and everything. They were going to do something with it, but he's not going to do anything with the cotton. Cotton's going to be able to say the Kaddish over there. And the child is able to walk on his own, so that's not an Issa Hoitzor de Raisa. So Shlomo Kluger writes that that's a shvuz de shvuz, but makam mitzvah, that is mutter. Neither of them is amir liyakum. That's how we really hold. We don't hold like those Galatian achronim who came up with that chiddush. The pashta says it's against the rishonim who all talk about shvuz de shvuz, makam mitzvah. Don't insist that one of them has to be amir liyakum. Even if neither is amir liyakum, everything is al yedei Yisrael, but it's a trei de rabbanon. Trei de rabbanon, it's only also because of a combination of two dinim de rabbanon. So that's a lower level than a chad rabbanon. So if it's a trade rabbanon, a makam mitzvah, so the Tosis paskan based on the Gemara and Erevin, that would be mutter.
Rav Shester, what's the nafkamina whether something is an av or a tolda?
The Gemara asks on the first af in Baba Kama that based on is there a nafkamina? The Gemara comes out, it's really only historical nafkamina. Whatever was in the Mishkan, whatever was was a significant activity, and the construction of the Mishkan is considered an av, and whatever was not in the Mishkan but is represented with what it's sufficiently similar to the av that we should label it as a toldah. So it's represented by what was in the Mishkan. That's called a toldah, but there really is no difference between the two. Yechayev misa for the av and the toldah, yechayev chatos and the av and the toldah. It's really the same. Just the historical difference between the two. There is a problem. There is a Ran on the Rif in Masechus Shabbos, at the end of the 17th Perek, I think, where the Ran sounds like he says that there is a difference between an Av and a Tolda if it's ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa. That an Av ain't Tzvicha L'Gufa will be also Midrabanan. And a toldo of his ain't svicha legufa is mutta legamre. So the Eglital asks on the Ran, how can he say that? The Gemara says on the Achrenim, a few Achrenim ask, how can the Ran say that? The Gemara says on the first half of a comment, the whole difference between an ab and a tolda is only historical. Whatever was in the Mishkan is an ab. Whatever was on the Mishkan is a tolda. The Gemara is trying to find out what's the difference lahaloche. So why don't the Gemara say that if she'd chaban afkamin if ain't svicha legufa? So Bemis, we said there's a way to answer that question. What's the definition of a tolda? Because it would appear there are a couple of difficulties in the Rambam about the ain't svicha legufa. So there's a Sefer Makeres HaMishnah is one of the major commentaries on the Rambam. Makeres HaMishnah is a very long essay, goes on and on and on and on for pages and pages. There are no periods and there are no paragraphs. It's one long sentence in the Makeres HaMishnah. And the old editions, maybe they're going to put out a new edition, it'll be easier to read. And the old edition just keeps on going on. And so with the gist of what he says is that this idea of Haremf is the Rambam. The Rambam holds like that Ran, that by Ovis, Ein Svicha Legufa is an Issa, the Rambam Pasuk, Ein Svicha Legufa is an Issa Deraisa. And by Toldus, he holds Ein Svicha Legufa is not an Issa Deraisa. So what does the Rambam do with that Gemara? The Gemara seems in the same teretz that the Makevus HaMishnah gave, they quote in recent years, they quote from Abitul Aponavesh. He was a big Baal Mechadish. He also thought that that's the teretz on several difficult Rambams, Hilchas Shabbos, that ain't Svicha Legufas and Issa Deraisa only by Yovis and by Toldus, maximum it could be is only the Rabbanim. Yeah, what's the beer Hadovis? So the beer is very good. It's not that it's a chumre in Ovis and a kula in Toldus. No. The Gemara, if the difference would have been that your machmer and the Ovis, even ain't Svicha Legufa is the Raisa, and Toldus your Mekel, then the Gemara should have said that's a difference between an Av and a Tolda. That's not the Vort. The Vort is different. What's the definition of a Tolda? So Tolda means I'm doing the activity, it's a different Tzuras HaMaisa. It's not the same Maisa that was done in the Mishkan. If it's very similar, let's say you have an activity that was not in the Mishkan, but it's very, very similar. It's extremely similar to the activity in the Mishkan. So then the Rambam says they're twin Ovis. That's not called a Tolda. That's also an Av. When is it called a Tolda? If the Tzuras HaPa'ula is different, but the Tachlis is the same. The purpose, the Toelis, and doing the Malacha activity is the same as the Toelis in the Mishkan. So then if it's sufficiently similar in the Toelis, then I label it as a Tolda. But if you're doing a Tolda Ein Svicha Legufo, then you're not doing it for the same Tachlis. You're doing it for different Toelis. You don't have that Tachlis in mind. So by definition, it's not a Tolda. So that's not really a difference between an Av and a Tolda. That's by definition, if you do a Tolda in Svicha Legufa, you can't label it as a Tolda because the whole definition of a Tolda is if it's very, very similar to the Av, even the Tzuras HaMaisa is extremely similar, then the Rambam says they're twin Avis. You can have five Avis. They can all be Avis. When is it a Tolda? If the Tzuras HaMaisa is different, but the Toelis, the Tachlis is the same. But if you're doing it with Tzorech, Ein Svicha Legufa, you're not doing it for the same purpose that the Malachas were done in the Mishkan. So by definition, it's not called a Tolda. So that's not really a difference. You're not that you're Machma and Obis and Mekel and Toldas. By definition, it's not called a Tolda. So it's not a Kula and Tolda. That's why the Gemara didn't mention that. That's what the Rabitzel Panavejah is quoted like that. And the Makevus HaMishnah has like that. They both say the same husband, the Rambam. Yeah. So Choresh, what if a person digs Choresh Basode is Chai Mishum Chofe Basode. Chofe Basode Chai Mishum Choresh. Because the definition of Choresh is Hachon al Izriya. And Chofer Babayis is Chai Mishum Bona. So if the person digs a ditch Babayis and he plans to put a beam in, he plans to attach something there in that hole. That's malach atzvich al gufa bona of bona. But if he digs a hole babayis and he doesn't plan to use it for building purposes, then he violated bona and ain't zvich al gufa. So that will be dependent on the machlokes satanaim. But the ain't zvich al gufa is the raisa the rabbanon. That's what the gemara says. Chayfa babayis chay mishum bona. Yeah. The Minchas Chinuch quotes the Din and the Gemara. The Gemara talks in different Masechtos about Otzitz Nakuv as opposed to Otzitz She'eino Nakuv. If you have a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom and it's sitting on the ground or it's suspended in midair, so we assume that there's going to be a nika from the ground, even though it's not sitting directly on top of the ground. And if you look, it means the ground means if it's soft earth underneath it. If you have concrete, it's not going to be yonik from the ground. But if you don't have concrete, you just have dirt, so then exactly that spot where the hole is on the bottom of the otzitz nakuv, directly below on the earth, you'll see that there'll be a circle there, and it'll be moister than the other offer under the otzitz, because the yonika is going to grow from the ground through the air. It's going to go up into the otzitz. So whatever grows in an otzitz nakuv is yonik from the ground. So it's chayv in trumas ha-maisvus if it's an otzitz nakuv in Eretz Yisrael, and it's considered mechuba if you write a get on the leaf of an otzitz nakuv, it'll be pasul because a get ben mechuba lekarka is pasul. And it's considered mechuba lekarka. It's considered the karka. But if you have an otzitz she'ein ha-nakuv, you have a flower pot that does not have a hole on the bottom, so it's not going to be yonik from the ground. Tosis in a few places distinguishes what material is the otzitz made of. Is it made from wood or is it made from cheres? Because there's such a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Sometimes, depending on the material that it's made from, sometimes even if it has no nekev on the bottom, it still can be yonik through and through. Okay, but leaving out that this distinction between an otzitz shal cheres as opposed to an otzitz shal eitz, we usually assume an otzitz nakuv is yonik from the ground, is dinik and mechuba. An otzitz she'eino nakuv is not yonik from the ground, is dinik and tolosh. Right? And there are differences between tolosh and mechuba. I get the Maseches Gittin, the Gemara talks about it. Which kinyonik work, the Gemara says also, kinyonik karka, only work on karka, don't work on the taltum. Let's say chazok, if you dig, that's a kinyi chazok, only works on karka. And Hagbon Mashiach only works on the Taltalim. So the Gemara says that if you have the exact same flower pot, if it has a hole on the bottom, it's Dinik and Mechuba, so everything in the flower pot is considered Dinik Kikarka, Mechuba Lekarka, Dinik Kikarka. So it's Nikna Bikinyone Ikarka. But if it's an Otzit Shena Nokuv, it's Dinik and Metaltalim, it's going to be Nikna Bikinyone Metaltalim. So you see from that Gemara that Kinyone Karka don't work on Metaltalim, Kinyone Metaltalim don't work on Karka. It's a Gemara in Gittin. Pnei Yeshua points that out, and the Nesivus quotes that Pnei Yeshua, Halacha Lamaisa. So what's the din, let's say a person does kotzer? He has flowers growing, or he has whatever, esrogim growing, in an otzitz she'ein on nakuv. And then he plucks it off. So if an otzitz she'ein on nakuv, then the Gemara makes a distinction. If it's an otzitz nakuv, then yechai mishum kotzer. If an otzitz she'ein on nakuv, then it's dinu kitalush. It told us from before, so then you weren't kotzer min mechuba lekarka. Then you were not pichai mishum kotzer. So the Gemara, and the Rambam distinguish between ketzira from an otzitz nakuv as opposed to ketzira from an otzitz she'eino nakuv. And one if it's an otzitz nakuv, it's dinik and mechuba lekarka yechai mishum kotzer. If an otzitz she'eino nakuv, then it's not mechuber, so you're not chai mishum kotzer. What about zoreya? So the Gemara never says a word. What if it be zoreya? So Rab Mordechai Benet was a great goyin who lived the same time as the Chasam Sofer. Rab Mordechai Benet was the Rav HaKadol of the whole area in Hungary, where the Chasam Sofer was the Rav in Pressburg. He was kofuf. The Chasam Sofer was kofuf to Rab Mordechai Benet, and he gave the Haskama when the Chasam Sofer printed the Rimigash on the Gemara, so that he wanted a Haskama. And no one wanted to give, how do you give a Haskama on a Rishon? So the Chasam Sofer held that you're not allowed to print as a cherem hakadmonim, not to print a sefer without a haskama. So many thought that means not allowed to print your chiddush Torah without a haskama, but to print a ksaviyah from a rishon, the rishonim don't need a haskama. The Chasam Sofer felt no, you need a haskama that I'm qualified to print a ksaviyah. I'm not going to forge anything. I'm not going to misrepresent what it says in the ksaviyah. So he was very appreciative. He writes in his chuvas, he thanked Rav Mordechai Benet for giving the Haskama on the Chidushei Rimigash that he printed, because he felt that you need the Cherem HaKadmonim, not the published Svarim, without a Haskama, even goes if he printed Kisviyah. So this Rav Motcha Benet has, they have printed on the bottom of the page on Menachos, all the dinim of Tefillin and Mezuzah and so on, tzitzis, so they have Chidushei Rav Motcha Benet on the bottom of the page of the Mordechai, and he has a separate little sefer on Melech HaShabbos, Mogen Obis, it's called, Mogen Obis. So the Menchas Chinuch quotes often from that sefer, Mogen Obis. It's a fantastic sefer. So he raises this suffix. He says, we usually think that Kotzer and Zareya are opposites. Zareya, he's planting, and Kotzer, he's harvesting. So if by Kotzer, the Gemara distinguishes the current, the Gemara and the Rambam distinguish between Otzitz Nokuv, Otzitz Shein Nokuv, so one would possibly be led to believe the same distinction applies to Zareya. If you're going to plant something in an Otzitz Shein Nokuv, it won't be an Issa Deraisa, because you're not planting in the Karka. If you plant an Otzitz Nokuv, so then that's like a Zareya Bikarka. So the Rav Motcha Benet writes, he's not so sure about that. He says, even though offhand, Zareya and Kotzer should be connected, but it's not necessarily 100% so. And he leaves it as the suffix. And then the Mele, he says, what about Choresh? So Choresh means you did Hachana L'Zriya. So if you say that Zriya is an Issa Deraisa, even in Otzitz, She'ein Onakuv, the Minchas Chinuch quotes the Chayodim holds like that. And that suffix that Rav Motcha Benet had, so the Chayodim was before him. So the Chayodim is noted to say that Zareya and Kotzer are not the same. Kotzer is only the Rabbanon if it's Otzit She'ein on Nakuv. And Zareya is an Issa Deraisa. That's the Chayodim writes like that. But the Rav Motcha Benet is Mesupik. So Rav Motcha Benet adds on, if one should assume that Zareya is Daraisa by even by Otzitz Nakuv, then he thinks that Choresh will be Daraisa also, because the definition of Choresh is Achana Lizriya. Achana Lizriya. But if Zareya will only be the Rabbanon by an Otzitz She'en Onakuv, because it's not Dino Kimuchuba Lakarka, then he thinks that Charisha will also not be Daraisa, probably only be the Rabbanon by an Otzitz She'en Onakuv. Yeah, the Poskim discussed the following case. Yeah. Zareya means I plant something in the ground. What if a person does something that helps something grow better? Let's say, Mashkamayim Lizroim. You have a plant in front of you in your house, and you pour water in. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Moed Katan, that based on the base, the Gemara has machlekes, it's Rabbi Rav Yosef. Mashke Maim Lizraim on Shabbos is a tolda. It's not one of the obvious, it's a tolda, but it's machlekes, Rabbi Rav Yosef. Is it a tolda of Zareya or is it a tolda of Choresh? Because the definition of Choresh is if you treat the karka in such a way, I plowed, I did something to the karka to enable the stuff to grow later on. I plowed, and I'll be able to throw the seeds in. If I wouldn't plow, there wouldn't be any cracks in the ground. The seeds would be sitting on top of the karka. They're not going to grow. So Choresh is making it possible to do a Zachana Lizriya. So the Shaila is, if I already have something growing in the ground, and there's no rain, so I'm going to pour water on the vegetables that it should grow. So Mashke Maim Lizraim, so that's a machlokes, Rabbi Rav Yosef, the first daf in Moed Katan, not based on base. Is that a tolda of Zareya? Because the seeds are there already. It's already growing, and it's already hushrush in the karka. So I'm helping it grow better, so that's a tolda of Zareya? Or should you say, no, that's a tolda of Choresh, because I'm doing the activity with the karka. So that's a machlekes Rabbi Rav Yosef. Then the Gemara asks Akasha, and they have no teretz. Gemara asks Akasha, both the Rabbi and the Rabbi Yosef, why does each one hold that it's either a tolda of Zareya, a tolda of Choresh? Why not say Chayiv Shtayim? You have cases in the Gemara that a person does one pu'ul on Shabbos, and it's a and it's labeled as two different malachas, then why not say that it's both a Toldav Charish and a Toldav Zareya? So the Gemara says Kasha. So when a lot of times the Gemara has a Kasha, and the Gemara says Tiyufta. So we always assume Tiyufta means upgefrek. The Amora, what the Amora said is rejected because it's contradicted by Mishnayis or by Brisa. So that's Tiyufta. And then sometimes the Gemara will not say Tiyufta, the Gemara will say Kasha. So that's a big debate. The Rashbam in Cheskes Abatim, towards the end of Cheskes Abatim ends on Daf Samach HaSo. So this is in the Nuns, the early Nuns. So the Rashbam quotes a machlokes from the days of the Goyim, is Kasha the same as Tiyufta or not? So there are Taisus in a few Mesichtas, Taisus and Makkas at the end of the first Perek has it, and there's a Taisus and Menachas also about the Sphere of Sa'ima there, where Taisus assumes that Kasha is the same as Tiyufta. Misha Shanazu lo Shanazu. You can't hold from the both Dinim. It's a machlokes Hatanoim. And we usually don't assume like that. We usually assume that Tiyufta means Abgefrek, and Kasha means a good to Kasha, and there's a good Teretz, and we're not going to bother to explain what the Teretz is. One of the Sfardish Gedolim wrote a whole Sefer that's called Kasha's Miyushav. Every time the Gemara says Kasha, he writes you what the Teretz is. So in some of the old Shas, and in the Vilna Shas, they don't have. Some of the other editions of the Shas, they took from that Sefer, Kasha's Miyushov. He has a little bit. How often does it say Kasha? And then he gave him a Sichta 5-6 times, not so often. So they took the page from that Sefer, Kasha's Miyushov, that was relevant for that Mesichta, and they put it in the back of each Mesichta. If you put all the pages together, you have the whole Sefer. That's called Kasha's Miyushov. A lot of times the Rishayim tell you what the Teretz is. In Brachas, the beginning of Perek Tefillas HaShach, the Gemara has a Kasha, and it's not a Tiyufta about one who davene forgot to say Atochan Antona by Ma'ariv, doesn't have to repeat it. So Gemara says a whole story. A person forgot to daven Mincha on Shabbos afternoon, then he davens Ma'ariv twice. So the first Ma'ariv is supposed to be for Ma'ariv, and the second Shmoneh Esrei is supposed to be for Tashlum and for Mincha. So he didn't do like that. He said Atochan Antonu in the second Shmoneh Esrei. So he demonstrates that he had a mind on the first Shmoneh Esrei for Mincha, Tashluma for Mincha, and the second Shmoneh Esrei is that Atochan Antonu had in mind for Ma'ariv, so he reversed the order. So it says he has to dab in a third Shmoneh Esrei. Even though he already dabbed Ma'ariv twice, he has to dab in a third Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara has the Kasha, but if you just told me that you Yotzei Ma'ariv, even if you didn't say Atochan Antonu, so why not say the first Shmoneh Esrei that he didn't say Atochan Antonu was Ma'ariv, and the second Shmoneh Esrei was a Tashluma for Mincha, even though he did say Atochan Antonu? Why does he has to say third Shmoneh Esrei? Gemara says Kasha. So the Rashba there quotes the Goyim who give the Teretz. So those Goyim hold that Kasha is not the same as Tiyufta. That's a famous Rashba. The Rashba quotes the Goyim at Deepa Yokavonos Agarbis Kaveh, what the shame of the Tfil is. If you said Atochan Antonu in the second one, not in the first, you're demonstrating that you held the first one is for Tashlum for Mincha, and the second one is for Ma'ariv. So your kavanas agar is kaver the shema tefila, and that's ma'akev. You can't daven the tefilas hatashlumin before you daven the tefila bismanim. So that Rashba quotes the Goyim that the whole kasha is not the same as the yufta. Every time it says kasha, there's a teretz and there's a good teretz on it. So that's so the Gemara there in the first daf in Moed Katan has this machlekes Rabbi Rav Yosi Hamenakesh or mashke ma'im. So it means I already have the vegetables are growing in the ground, but there's not enough water. So I pour water on Shabbos, or on Yontav, I pour water on Shabbos. So on Shemitah, okay, Shemitah also, you're not allowed to Sotchol HaSizra. So the question is that a Toldav, is that a Malacha of Zareya, is that a Malacha of Choresh? So that's a Machlokes, it's Rabbi Rav Yosi. The Gemara says a Kasha on both of them, why not say it's both a Toldav Zareya and a Toldav Choresh? The Gemara doesn't give a Teret. So that's a discussion. What's the teretz on that kash? So there's what to discuss. It's not relevant halacha l'maisa, but it's an interesting discussion.
Rav Shechter, is it possible to say that when we spoke about yichata b'gechalim, where you're turning the orange coals black and the black coals orange, so that's chayav shtayim, but there's one maisa where you're accomplishing two different things. Whereas here, by adding water, you're doing one mice and accomplishing only one thing.
Right. Right, that's a very strong distinction. Many achrayim have like that. That's the teretz. If the two different accomplishments, let's say, the Gemara says, what does the Gemara have on Dafayin Gimel and Beisim Maser Shabbos? It's quoted on the first daf there, Moed Katan. A person breaks off branches from the tree in order that the tree should grow more. You're pruning the tree that it should be able to grow better. And the branches that you broke off in the tree, he's going to use in his furnace as fuel. So he's violating kotzer on breaking off the branches because he's going to use the branches. And he's violating noteya on the tree because the tree is going to grow better. So the two different accomplishments, right? Every case that the Gemara says, chayv shtayim, there were always two different accomplishments. But it was only one accomplishment. And it makes sense to declare it as a told of one malacha told of another. So there's room to say that it can't be labeled twice. Can't be labeled. And others disagree that that's not true. It should still be labeled twice. That's also a fundamental shaila. What's the nature of the idea there are lamed tesavos malachas? Are they 39 different prohibitions? 39 different isurim? Or are there 39 ways to be mechalel Shabbos? So if the 39 different prohibitions, why can't you say that it's both a told of Chorish and a told of Zareah, even though there's only one accomplishment? It's sufficiently similar to Zareah to call it a told of Zareah, and sufficiently similar to Chorish to label it as a told of Chorish, if the two different Yisurim. If the 39 ways to violate Chilul Shabbos, 39 ways to be Mechal Shabbos, so then it doesn't make sense to say that it's Chayiv Shtayim. He was just Mechal Shabbos. He only accomplished one result. So that point, Menachem Zemba was one of the greatest Goinim in Poland. He was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, in the end of the Warsaw Ghetto. So he published a little sefer when his father-in-law passed away. His father-in-law had a hardware store, and the father-in-law supported him for many years. And after the father-in-law passed away, he had to run the hardware store. So he wasn't sitting and learning. He was sitting and learning, but he was running the hardware store at the same time. He was a goyim, a goyim. So out of respect for the father-in-law, he put out a sefer, Toitzoas Chaim. Father-in-law's name was Chaim. It's all about Hoitzoa, different fancy dinim. So he speaks about this, and he quotes explicit Machloikas HaRishonim. Rav Soloveitchik gave Shiurim on Masechah Shabbos. He referred to that Toitzoas Chaim, Rav Menachem Zemba. And these Rishonim that he quotes, are there 39 ways to be Mechal Shabbos? Or 39 different Isurim, like Chelev Adam. What do you say? No, the 39 nights to be Mechal Shabbos, with a lot of Nafkaminis and that Shaila. Yeah. So that's Lomdash Shailas. Yeah. So the Gemara has two cases where there's a Machlek Zerab Rav Yosef. One is Benakesh. I have the vegetables are growing, but there are weeds that are growing there. And the weeds are yonic from the karka, and it's taking away from the vegetables being able to absorb more yanika to grow better. So by yanking out the weeds from the ground, menakesh, so the vegetables will grow better. So is that, you're doing a pa'ula to the ground by yanking out the weeds, so that's the tolda of choresh? Or no, the vegetables are already growing in the ground, so that's zareya. So that'll be a machlekes, Rabbi Rav Yosef. The same as mashka maim lizroim. If you plow the ground, then you didn't plant the vegetables yet. You didn't plant the seeds yet, so that's chorish. But if you already planted the seeds and then you're pouring water, is that told that the zoreya? Because the thing is growing, the seeds are already growing in the ground and you help it grow better. Or is that a told that the chorish? Because you're pouring water to make the earth softer, so it's a hachana to the growth. So that's the machlokes Rabbi Rav Yosef, and they both agree that it's not chayv shtayim. For some reason or another. That's what you suggested. That's one suggestion, the teretz on the kasha. There are other suggestions. There are other possible suggestions. So there's let's say I have a flower pot in the house, or I have something growing in the house in a pot, an otzitz, and I open the window in order that the sun on Shabbos. I open the window on Shabbos so the fresh air should come in and the sun should shine. I want the sun to shine. I want the fresh air to come. So the vegetables should grow better. The vegetables or the flowers or whatever it is that I have. So if I open the window with that intention, so that's like mashka maim lizroim. I'm helping it grow better. Shaila is, what if I open the window in order to get fresh air? I want to have fresh air. I couldn't care less about the flowers. They are going to grow. They're not going to grow. I'm not interested at all. Flowers, I don't care. I open the window in order that I should get fresh air. I want to sit in the sun. But I know that the fresh air is going to cause the flowers to grow better. So what would you call that? Would you call that a psigresha deloy nichalei? We have a dinner. Dov sheinim is kabin is a machloikis hatanoim. A person does a pu'ula hamuteris, he does something that's muter, and he knows in advance that it may or may not result in an iser. It may turn out that it'll result in an iser, but he's not interested in doing the iser, he's only interested in doing the pu'ula hamuteris. So that's called dabashenim miskab. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's also, it's like sveka deraisa luchumer. It's a sofik, it may develop to become an iser, so you're not allowed to do it. And Rabbi Shimon holds that it's muter. So that's the shaila. Why does Reb Shimon? And we pass like Reb Shimon. The Dov Sheinim is Kabin. Most of the poskim hold like Reb Shimon. Yankev Hamdan stands alone. Yankev Hamdan paskins that Dov Sheinim is Kabin is Mutar on Yontav and Osar on Shabbos. Why? Because on Shabbos it's an Isis, it is a Kares. So the Gemara has a Svar in Sanhedrin at one point that Dov Sheinim is Kabin by Kares should be Mochomer. There's no chorus, it's only in Isalav. So there's room to say that Dovashem is Kabbin should be mut. Rabbi Yankev Hamdan wrote a commentary on Mishnayos, and he disagrees with all the Rishonim. He takes on all the Rishonim, and he wants to paskin that Dovashem is Kabbin on Shabbos is Osir. Dovashem is Kabbin on Yontav is mut. On Mishnayos and Beitza, he has this. But all the Rishonim say not. So we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. But Dovashem is Kabbin is mutter on Shabbos. But Dov Shein Miskab means is doing pu'ula hamuteris. He knows in advance that may or may not result in a pu'ula hasura. What if it's a vadaris? He knows that by doing the pu'ula hamuteris, I open the window to get fresh air for myself. And I know also that by opening the window, the fresh air is going to help the flowers grow a little better, or the sun is going to shine. It's also going to help it grow better. So that's a psikresha, but he couldn't care less, not interested at all. So what's the din of a psikresha de la nichalei? So that's a big machlokes. Tosis quotes the Oruch. The Oruch was a Talmudic dictionary of Aramaic words, and that was written by Rav Nosson, who lived in Rome. He was a contemporary of Rashi. They have a tshuva that the Oruch sent. Rashi sent the shaila to the Oruch. The shaila, if you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you do the bris? So supposedly, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. So they say that that was Rabbeinu Shlomo, Rashi sent the Shaila to the Oruch, and the Oruch responded to him. I don't know if that's possible. Rashi quotes the Oruch every so often, but Rashi corresponded with the Oruch. I don't know. They had mail delivery then. I don't know. That's what it says in the history books. So the Oruch is of the opinion that Psigresha de la Nichalei is Mutter, and Taisa disagrees with the Oruch. That's a Shaila and Din. Psigresha de la Nichalei. Taisa holds the maximum you can say is that it's a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. He's not really interested in having the flowers grow better. So malacha shein tzvicha legufa is only an isa derabban. The only time it constitutes a malacha derais is when you do the malacha having intention with the same result that was in the days of the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they did it for the same purpose. So that's the shaila over here also. The fellow opens up the windows. This was discussed 100 years ago by the Chachamim and the Yerushalayim. Are you allowed to open up the window to get fresh air, knowing that the fresh air will definitely help the plant grow better? So they say, L'chor should depend on that machlokes between Tosis and the Oruch, by psikresha de la nichalei, whether the Oruch holds that it's muta legamre, and Tosis holds that it's only potter avalasa, but it's also in the Rabban, because malocha shen tzvicha legufa. There's room to argue the point and say that it's even better than Malacha Shein Tzvicha LeGufa. Malacha Shein Tzvicha LeGufa, Tosfos usually holds that Psigresha Del Nichalei is awesome with the Rabbanan because it's Malacha Shein Tzvicha LeGufa. That's if he's handling, is doing the Malacha B'Yadayim. Over here, he's opening the window. So the opening of the window relates to the flower pot. If you wanted to, if you open the window in order that the sun should shine on the flowers, that the fresh air should reach the flowers, then the activity, the action of opening the window relates to the flowers. Same thing, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos I always go to shul Shabbos morning. So I walk out of the door and I lock the door. I don't want ganavim to walk in, to empty out, to steal everything from my apartment. So this Shabbos morning, a wild animal ran into my apartment. And when I locked the door, not only am I preventing ganavim from coming in, I'm preventing the wild animal from running out. So what if my main interest is really to prevent every day I lock the house when I leave? So my interest, my main interest really is to lock the door, that the ganavim shouldn't be able to come in. I have a secondary interest also. I want to trap the animal and I'm going to keep it as a pet. And if I'm not going to close the door, the animal will run away and I won't have it. I won't be able to use it as a pet. So there's a Rashbo, a Masech HaShabbos, on that daf around Kuv Gimel or so. So the Rashbo says that that's permissible. Even though he has both in mind, his main intention is to protect his belongings. Ganavim shouldn't steal anything. But as a secondary intention, he wants also to trap the animal. The Ran quotes this Rashbo. He says, what is he off his mind? That's utterly ridiculous. He has a mind by opening the window as a secondary intent. His main intention is to protect all the belongings that the ganavim should be able to steal it. But he has a secondary intention also to trap the animal. So that's Mamash Tzeda. He's trapping the animal. And Achrenim say the Ran, we accept the Ran. He can't accept that Rashbo. But then the Ran says, not only is the Rashba wrong, if he has intention for as secondary intention, he wants to trap the animal, he thinks even if he doesn't want to trap the animal at all, he's not interested at all in trapping the animal. He just wants to protect his belongings. The ganavim shouldn't walk off with everything in the house. So the Ran thinks it's still, it's going to be a psigresha de la nichalei, psigresha de la ichpislei. He knows he's trapping the animal by locking that, closing the door. And even though he's not interested, that's called psigresha de la ichpislei, psigresha la nichalei. And the Ran says that'll be the machlekes between the Oruch and the Balei HaTosis, whether that'll be mutter or rasa on Shabbos. So the Achreinim say, no, there's room to paschen like the Rashbo on that. If he's not interested at all, in trapping the animal, there's room to say that that's better than a psikresha de la nichalei. Psikresha de la nichalei is mamish doing the malacha biyadayim. He's doing one pu'ula. And it's a vadoi that it's going to lead to another malacha. But he's not really interested in that. But over here, he's not handling the animal that he traps. He's locking the door. So the pu'ula of locking the door only relates to the animal. I label it as tzeda if he wants it to. If by locking the door, he wants to trap the animal. If he's not interested, then the locking of the windows and the doors doesn't relate to the animal. It's better. It's more kal. It's more lenient than psikreshon on the. He's not at all handling the thing. So that's what many gedolim tain it over here as well. That's the Yeshua's Yankov has like that. And the Avleneza has like that. The few gedolim achrenim have that compromise. We don't accept the Rashbo in the wild chiddush that he claims says in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Rashba claims that what he said is in the Yerushalmi, that even if you have in mind to trap the animal, but it's only a secondary intention, his main intention is to protect all of his belongings, the ganavim shouldn't come in. So it's permissible to have that in mind at the time that you lock the windows. And that's not a malacha of tzeda. So that, we don't accept that Rashba. We all like the Ran. But the next step that the Ran added on, even if he's not interested at all in trapping the animal, but it's a psigresha, it's happening, so that's a psigresha de la nichalei, and that'll depend on the machlek, is the Oruch and the Balei HaTosfos. So that's what these Achreinim, Yeshua's Yankov, and the Rabbi Chana Wasserman, and Avnei Nezer, before Rabbi Chana Wasserman, they say, no, they think we can be maker like the Rashbo over there. The pu'ula that he does on the window only relates to the animal if he's interested in having it relate. Otherwise, it doesn't relate. So the same over here. Many poskim said, and this shaila, in the early 1900s when they were discussing this issue, so some of them kind of like that, if you open up the window, you want to have fresh air. You're not interested in the opening of the window should bring fresh air to the flower pot. Your wife has this flower pot that's her mishigas. You couldn't care less for the whole thing. You would throw the whole thing out as far as you're concerned. But your wife didn't open the window. You opened it. You weren't interested at all. So since when you opened it, you didn't care at all that it should reach the fresh air, the sunshine should reach the flower pot, that's better than psikresha la nichalei, and it's not a malacha at all. So that's an issue that was debated years ago. Yeah, we pointed out. We pointed out that Ramat Chabanet and the Chayyadam Paskins Halacha like that. Ramat Chabanet was Mesupik, and the Chayyadam before him wasn't Mesupik. He thinks that Zoreya and Anotzitz She'ein Onokub is a Malacha Deraisa, even though Kotzer is only Midirabbanan, if it's Anotzitz She'ein Onokub, because it's not Mechubala Karka, but Zoreya will be an Issa Deraisa, even though they seem to be twin Malachas. Zoreya and Kotzer, they're not the same. Kotzer is only the Rabbanan if it's an Otzit She'en Onokuv, because it's not Mechuba LeKarka. Masheni Kin Zareya, they're not connected. You can violate Zareya Minatar. The Chayodim says like that, La'aloch, he thinks it's their Isa, and Rav Motcha Bennett was Mesupik about that. So that's similar, perhaps, to Mechaba Umavir. We usually assume Mechaba and Mavir are opposites. Havar means you made a fire, Mechaba means you put out the fire. It's not the same. Let's say I have a Bunsen burner and I put out the flame. I blow out, the gas is coming out and it's on fire. And then on Shabbos, I blow out the flame. So that's not by definition, that's not, that if I have the gas coming out and I bring the Bunsen burner to a flame, and I cause it to catch fire, so that's Havara. I cause the gas to burn. But it wouldn't be Mechaba, because the Gemara says by Mechaba, you have to have a Pechum. You have to have some charcoal left. If you plan to use the charcoal, so if you need charcoal, if you blow out the fire on the coals in order to use the charcoal to paint something black, that's a malocha tzvicha legufa. If you're not going to use the pechum, you're not going to use the charcoal, then it's malocha shein tzvicha legufa. But if there is no pechum, then it's not a malocha by definition. It's only midirabbanan. Let's say you have mateches. I heat metal till it glows. So the Rambam writes that that's havara. I turn on an electric bulb and it has a filament, and the heat of the electrical current causes the filament to glow. So the Rambam says that's a malocha of havara. That's considered eish. We mentioned when we discussed that Rav Chaim Moiser used to demonstrate that he held that it's a melacha deraisa, so he would, when he made Havdolah Mitzvah Shabbos, he would say Bar Meri Ha'esh on the filament in the electric bulb. Yeah, that was only in the early years when the bulbs were not frosted. In the later years, when they started to make frosted bulbs, so you can't see you see that it lights up the room, but you can't see the filament inside because it's glazed. So then the Gemara says you can't say Bar Mir Hesh. You only say Bar Mir Hesh if you can see the Esh. Let's say you have a lamp and you have a round shell. What do you call it?
Shade.
You have a shade around the lamp. And it gives a lot of light in the room, but you can't see the bulb. The bulb is covered by the shade. So then you can't say the bracha. If you look inside and the bulb is not frosted, the bulb is not frosted, you can see the filament, then you can say Bar Mi'aresh. So Rav Chaim Moiser, in the days of Rav Chaim Moiser, they didn't have frosted bulbs. All the bulbs were, you could see the filament. So Rav Chaim Moiser was in disagreement with the Maharsham. The Maharsham felt that turning on an electric bulb can be a melocha deraisa. We must have spoken about it because electric bulbs didn't exist in the days on the Mishkan. It's only considered a tolda. It's only a malach on Shabbos if it was in the Mishkan. So if it was actually in the Mishkan, then it's enough. If it's sufficiently similar to what was in the Mishkan, it was represented by what was in the Mishkan, then it's a tolda. But if that type of thing didn't exist in the days of the Mishkan, it can't be a malach deraisa. It can't even be a tolda. Rav Chaim Moiser held that that was wrong. It was represented by what was in the Mishkan. Just because electric bulbs didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a reason to say that it's not sufficiently similar. So Rav Chaim Moiser wanted to demonstrate, he holds that it's Eish Deraisa. He used to say, Rav Soloveitchik told that to us, that he was there a few times by Rav Chaim Moiser when he made Havdalah, and he would say Havdalah and Bar Mi'ar Eish on the electric bulb. So the two malochas of Havara and Kibui are not twin malochas. Havara you can violate, you don't need a pechum. If you heat metal till it glows, that's Havara. And then when you mechaba gachel shal mateches, for sure, it's even if you all don't speak, even if you all don't speak the goof is an isa deraisa, but you have to have a pecham. If you don't plan to use the pecham, then it's called ain't svicha legufa. If you plan to use the pecham, then it's called svicha legufa. But if there is no pecham, the whole malach of kibui is to create a pecham, to create a pecham. If you're going to use it, so it's a malach at svicha legufa. You don't plan to use it, it's malach ashen svicha legufa. But by havari, you don't need to create any pecham. So even though they seem to be similar, they're not exactly the same. So we have Nachama, so we have the first two malachas in the list, Dafayin Gimel, or Choresh and Hazareya. So Choresh is Hachana Lizriya. If you do Chafira Basode, that's Choresh, Hachana Lizriya. We do Chafira Bayis, then it's Bona. If you plan actually to build something in that hole, to put a beam there, then it's Bona Tzvicha Lagufa. If you make a hole in the bayis and you don't plan to put any beam there, then it's ain't svicha legufa. That'll be the machlekes habiyu de Reb Shimon, where it'll be deraisa de rabbanim. So that's choresh. Yeah. What else? The Rishonim quote from the Tosefta. Let's say I have a beautiful lawn and the lawn was mowed and it looks beautiful, and then people came and they threw tissues all over the lawn. They took all that garbage and they threw it on the lawn. So it doesn't look pretty. So the fellow has an Erev, let's say, and he picks up all of the junk that they threw. A lot of the junk probably will be mukta, okay, junk, garbage. And he picks up all the garbage that the people threw on his lawn, and now it looks beautiful. He's miyapes hakarka. So miyapes hakarka, even though he wasn't kotzer anything. So they quote the Tosefta, that Miyapes HaKarka is also Malach of Choresh. Either when you do Hachana Lizriya Basada, or if you Miyapes HaKarka, or let's say you have a floor and you wash the floor and you make it clean. So some of the Rishonim hold that's a Malach of Choresh. That's a Malach of Choresh. Miyapes HaKarka. Miyapes HaKarka is a Malach of Choresh. The Gemara talks about sweeping the floor when you have a dirt floor in the house. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, whether sweeping the floor with a broom is asur amuta. What's the machlokes? So Tosfos suggests that it's a machlokes hatanoim. Is it a psikreshe or is it not a psikreshe? So that's a machlokes hatanoim. Is it a psikreshe? The Ramban in the Melchamis, in the end of Masechus Shabbos, says, how is the shach to have a machlokes in mitzias? That's in all the yeshivas today, everybody knows that idea from the Ramban. Whenever the Gemara has a machlokes and mitzvahs, they say, that doesn't make any sense. How can it be a machlokes and mitzvahs? Why didn't they experiment and ascertain what the mitzvahs is? Whenever you can ascertain, it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes. This is a famous Ramban. Ramban has it in the beginning of the second perek in Chulin. The first daf in the second perek, the Gemara points out there's a machlokes hatanaim. With the treifa chaya, treifa ena chaya. The Torah prohibits us from eating 70 different types of diseased animals when the animal has a broken leg or a hole in the lung or a hole in the kishkis and so on. And serious tissue damage in the animal. So the Torah prohibits us from eating a treifa. Even if you shecht it, if you shecht the treifa, it won't be mitami kenevela, but it'll be osa bachila. You're not allowed to eat it. So why is that? Is it because the animal is half dead? So treifa ain't a chaya. The treifa is not going to survive for 12 months. That's why it's also bachila. It's like you're shechting a dead animal. It's half dead already. Or do you say, no, treifa chaya. The animal can live on, ad me'ev yesem shana can live, even if the animal with the treifa, even if you can ascertain it will live for more than 12 months. That's called chayoylam. If an animal is not going to live, a person animal is not going to live 12 months, that's called chayisho. If it's going to live more than 12 months, that's called chayo. Nobody lives forever. So chayo means it's going to live for more than 12 months. So the other opinion in the Gemara, machlekes satanaim, no, treifa chayo. The Torah prohibits it because it's not healthy to eat these animals. So nafkamin is, what if you have an animal that's a treifa and you lock it up and it survives for 12 months? Are you allowed to shecht it and eat it? So that the Gemara present that some machlokes hatanaim. So the Ramban over there in the beginning, the first daf and the second parak has tmihani hech nechluku avois ha'olam. How can the tanoim, such Goyim Adirim Tzadikim. How can they have a machlokes on something, a machlokes in Mitzius? Why don't they investigate? Why don't they experiment and find out? And he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there is a machlokes Hatanaim regarding Chometz B'Pesach, regarding Chiyuv Hafrashas Challah. It's only good for matzah, and it's only also Mishim Chometz, and it's only Hamoitzi, for Dinim Deraisa, for Dinim Rabbanan, it's only called Lechem, if it's Bode De Chimutz. So we assume Chamesh is Mine Dogen, wheat, barley, oats, rice, spelt. It's Bode De Chimutz. What about Oiris? What about rice? So that's a Machlekes Hatanaim, is it Bode De Chimutz? So Yushalmi and Chala ask the Kasha, how can it be a Machlekes Hatanaim? Why don't they experiment to find out whether it's Bole De Chimutz or not? So the Yishalmi answers, Anachanami, they did experiment, and it was something in between Chimutz and Sirchon. The other vegetables, the other grains and the other vegetables, if you mix them with water, let them sit, that's not called Chimutz. It's a different chemical reaction that the Gemara relates to, and the Gemara calls it Sirchon. So here, when they mixed Orez, they mixed rice with water and it's sitting in the warm water for a long time, so Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri said, oh, you see, it's Bole De Chimutz. And the Tanaim, the other Tanaim said, no, that's not called Chimutz, that's called Sirchon. They were looking at the same result. They saw the reaction when they mixed the rice with the water. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri held that that's called Chimutz, and the Chacham held that's called Sirchon. Where do you draw the line between Chimutz and Sirchon? So the Ramban works on this kasha also. How can you have a machlekes with a treifah chai, treifah nechai? Why don't they experiment? So he suggests maybe they probably did experiment. They probably took 100 animals, 200 animals that had treifas. They locked them up and probably all died. So one of the Tanaim said, there you have it. You see, we took 200 animals and they all died. And the other Tana said, maybe if you would have taken 2,000 animals, maybe some of them would not have died. It's not a controlled experiment. It doesn't prove conclusively. He's maskim ruba de ruba treifa enachai. Most of them will die within a year. But it's possible that even if it won't die within a year, it's still awesome in our Torah. It's still, treif is awesome, not because treif anachai. Even if it will live for a year, it's still going to be awesome. That's what the Ramban says. The Ramban is consistent on this. Ramban asks on Taisa, how can Taisa interpret the machlekes hatanaim, where they allow to sweep the dirt floor in your house? Is it a psikresha of ashvuya gumas or not? If you're sweeping the floor, so you may have some cracks in the floor, and by sweeping, you may sweep some of the dust into the crack and make it a smooth floor. So in a certain sense, you're filling in a ditch, you're filling in a hole, and the floor is in a better condition now than it was before. So in a certain sense, you just did bona. So Tosfos learns that that's the machlokes, whether sweeping the floor, is it a psikresha that a vada will be mashva gumis, or is it davish eni miskaven, and maybe mashva gumis. So the Ramban can't accept that. He says it doesn't make sense to have a machlokes in mitzius. That's in all the yeshivas today. Everybody assumes like that Ramban. Can't have a machlokes in mitzius. Why didn't they experiment? Rav Soloveitchik used to comment about this. He said the Greeks never believed in experimentation and everything went with philosophy. Why does fire go up and water goes down? And how come water puts out the fire? How come the fire doesn't put out the water? Everything went with philosophy. And that's why their science is worthless, because they didn't believe in experimentation. Why didn't they believe in experimentation? They felt that that's only for slaves. To do manual labor is only for the slaves. And free men have to use their heads. So they felt that experimentation, that's to patchke with your fingers, that's only for avodim. B'nei Chorin shouldn't do that. We should philosophize on everything. So that's why their science is ridiculous. And the Chazal, on the other hand, quote, in the beginning of Brachas, David HaMelech says, Ribbono Shel Olam, give me a break. Take care of me. I'm different from all the other malachim. All the other kings sit on their thrones in a fancy way, in a glorious fashion. And I sit on my throne, but the other malachim b'dam shvira v'shilya. The women come to me with shailos of mare, with an aid, and to know whether the nefil is metame, nefil is not metame, and I get my hands all dirty with the damnidus and damziba and the leida and the shvir v'shilya and everything. They said the Chazal believed in experimentation. That's this Yerushalmi that the Ramban quoted, as opposed to the Greeks. They didn't believe in experimentation at all. So that's an interesting point, that Ramban. So that's where the Ramban develops the idea that maybe the Chachamim say you're not allowed to sweep the floor, not because it's not a psik, That's one suggestion that Tosfos gives. The machlokes hatanaim is it a psik reishei or not? Then the Ramban says, how can I have a machlokes and mitzias? So Tosfos gives another suggestion. Maybe the machlokes hatanaim is they know it's not a psik reishei. It's not about doyos that is going to be mashu gum. It's that it's korev l'psik reishei. It's like 98% vadai that is going to turn out to be a malacha v'ashviyah gumas. So that's the machlokes hatanaim. Is there a din of korev l'psik reishei? I don't know if it's 100% vadai. It's also questionable. Korev l'psik reishei is a dovashenim miskav. It's only called the psik reishei if it's 100% vadois. If it's certain that it's going to happen, even though the roiv is that it is going to happen, Vashta says that's not called the psik reishei. So that's the din of choresh. That's the din of choresh. And that's the din of zareya. One is not permitted to do zareya. And then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara says, if you put flowers in water on Shabbos and it's going to keep them fresh, so that's an Issa de Rabbanan. If the flowers were in a container of water before Shabbos and you took them out for some reason or another, so you're permitted to put it back in. The Shabbos Machzirin, on Shabbos you're permitted to put the flowers back into the container of water. The Yontav Masifin, the Yontav, not only are you allowed to put it back into the container, but you're allowed to add more water. Even though there's a little bit of water in the container, you want to add more fresh water. You're permitted to switch the water and the flower pot. But if the flowers were not in the flower pot with water on Erev Shabbos, then you're not allowed to put them in on Shabbos because it's gonna help it keep fresh for longer. Then the Ramo quotes in Shulchan Aruch, a lot of times the flowers are closed on top. And by putting it in water, by putting it back in the water, it wasn't water on Erev Shabbos, but it's closed. And then having it sit in water longer, the petals are going to open up. You'll be able to see it better on top. So the Ramah said that's not allowed. Machzirin, you're allowed to put it back into the water, only provided that it's going to preserve the freshness, but it's going to make it even better. It's going to open up the petals on top. That you're not allowed to do. So that's an issue that they quote here by in connection with Zoreya. If you put flowers in water on Shabbos and it wasn't in water on Erev Shabbos, that's an Issa de Rabbanan. That's a form of Zoreya mid de Rabbanan. And then Kotzer, we explain Kotzer is not exactly the tin balacha of Zoreya, but one is not permitted to detach anything from the ground. Is kotzer only by gidule karka? The pashtus is like that. So some of the Rashi on Daf Tzadikei in Shabbos, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos. The Gemara doesn't say whether it's a melacha derais or melacha derabanan. The Gemara says it's not permissible to milk a cow. Choylev, if you milk a cow, choylev chay mishum, what's a mefarik? So all the Rishonim say Mefarik is not in the list of Lamates of his Malachas. So what does that help? It falls under the category of Mefarik. What is Mefarik fall under which category? That's very unclear. So they're different. I think there are 5-6 different opinions in the Rishonim. What exactly is the Malach involved in milking a cow? So Rashi quotes one of the Shittas in the Rishonim that when you milk a cow, it's a violation of Kotzer. Kotzer. We usually think kotzer is gidule karka. So you're detaching the thing, like we say. If you're kotzer from a otzitz nokuv, then it's a malacha deraisa. Kotzer from an otzitz shena nokuv, it's only malacha derabanan. That's a beferish gemara and a rambam. So this is not gidule karka at all. The cow is not gidule karka. How can it be kotzer? So there's a whole discussion in Achrayim about this. That there's vegetative life, flowers and things that are growing from the ground, food, fruits and vegetables, trees, and then there's animal life, then there's human life. So kotzer is if something was growing from the ground and it was part of a thing that it was alive, a vegetable was alive, and now you detached it from the ground, and it's no longer alive. The milk was part of the animal that was alive. The milk was not mechuber to the animal. The milk was sitting in the udder of the animal. It's not mechuber, but it's part of the animal. So in a certain sense, it's kotzer. That's a chiddush. That there's a, so Rashi is not happy with that. Rashi says that's utterly ridiculous. He doesn't agree that one who milks a cow should be chay mishum kotze. He doesn't agree. What exactly is the malacha? And is it a malacha deraisa, a malacha derabbanan? So most assume that the malacha involved, the Gemara says, chol of chay mishum mefarik. What is mefarik? Mefarik is not in the list of the lamates of his malachas on dafayin gimel, where the Mishnah and Shabbos lists off the whole list of the lamates malachas. So most assume that it's a tolda de dosh. What is disha? Disha is when you have, let's say, you have stalks of straw grow from the ground, and on top of the stalks, you have the kernels of grain. So you have ochelam solus that's attached. Or sometimes you have ochelam mashke that's attached. Let's say you have oranges and you squeeze out the orange juice. So you have grapes, so you have olives and squeeze out the olive oil, the grape juice. So you have ochelam mashke that are connected, naturally grew from the ground like that. If you have a sponge and you have water in the sponge, that's artificially. It doesn't grow from the ground like that. But if you have oranges or you have grapes or you have olives, it grows in the cow with the milk. That's a natural connection. And then you're detaching the psoldos from the ochel, or you're detaching the ochel from the mashke, even if this mixed in the tarubas, you're not separating. When you separate it, that's a different malocha, borer. To separate the two meaning from each other. The Gemara says, from the listing of the 39 malochas, there are three that seem to be identical. The Gemara says, Hanu Zora, Hanu Bora, Hanu Merakeid. If you have flour and you're sifting it out, what do you accomplish by sifting out? There are going to be pebbles or dirt that's going to be separated when you're sifting out the flour. So that's Bora with a kli. Then there's Bora Biyad. And then Merakeid is Bora with a kli. And Zora is when you throw it up in the air and the kernels of grain are heavier, they're going to fall down, and the wind is going to blow the straw away because the straw is lighter, and the kernels of grain are heavier, they're going to fall down. So you're separating the oichel from the psolus with the assistance, zori v'ruch misayaito. You're harnessing the natural force of the wind to accomplish borer. So the Gemara asks, why is it listed as three different malachas? Haina zora, haina borer, haina merakeid. It's the same thing. The Gemara says, yeah, but since in the Mishkan, they had all the three activities, so they're officially labeled as three different malachas. So if you do it biyad, then it's called borer. If you do it bikli, then it's called merakeid. And if you do it with the assistance of Karach Acham Yoruba, Zorah Baruch Misayaito, then it's called Zorah. All right. So that's when you're separating the Echel from the soul. Now we're talking, you're not separating, you're detaching. You harvested the tall stalks of straw, and you have on top of the straw, you have the kernels of grain. So you want to detach them. And if they detach it, then you're going to separate it, either with the wind blowing or however you're going to separate. But now you just want to detach the oichel from the psolus or the oichel from the mashke. So that's disha. That's the malacha of disha. So the most of the Rishonim assume that when you milk a cow, it's a malach of disha. The shaila is, the first 11 malachas are called by the Gemara Sidura de Pas. These are the 10 activities that lead up to baking a bread. The first activity is you plow the ground, chorish. Then you plant, zoreya. Then you kotzer. Then you dosh. Then you borer. Then you zora, you separate, then you do lisha, and then you finally bake it in the oven. So that's the 11th malacha. In the first, the list of the 39 malachas, so the first 11 are called Sidur de Pas. So that's the question. The Gemara calls it Sidur de Pas. Just, we should remember which are the 11 malachas, or does it have some halachic significance? Does it have a special din, the fact that it's Sidur de Pas? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, maybe that's the teretz to the kasha on the first daf in Moed Katan. How come sometimes you chayv shtayim and sometimes chayv achas? So, Peter Borsky just suggested before that there's room to say, a lot of acharim say like that, that it depends, is it one accomplishment or two accomplishments? There are two different accomplishments that the tree is going to grow better, and I have wood I broke off from the tree. I broke off wood, I'm going to use it in the furnace as fuel. And now, because I broke off the branches in such a certain way, so the tree is going to grow better. So I have two different accomplishments. Then Yechaibstein. That many Achranim say like that, but that depends on that issue, whether the 39 Malachas are all 39 forms of Chilul Shabbos, or the 39 different Shemus Iser. 39 different Shemus Iser, even if it's only one accomplishment, there's room to say you should be Chaibstein. So Soloveitchik thought maybe it depends whether they're both from Sidur the Pas. One is in Sidur the Pas, one is not. That was his suggestion. It's very questionable. Anyway, so it's questionable whether this is there any halachic significance to labeling the first 11 as Sidur the Pas. So the Gemara has a discussion regarding Disha. The Gemara says that the cause chavola, the cause bleeding in an animal or in a human being, is a malacha. Chavola is a malacha. What's the malacha in chavola? So there's a big dispute in the Rishonim. So Rashi says, if you slap someone and you make a black and blue mark, that's tzoveya. Or if you cause bleeding and the blood dyes the skin, it changes the color, so that's a malach of tzoveya. Tosis is very not happy with Rashi's pshat. They have a ton of kasha. They don't like Rashi. So Tosis says, what the Achranim say is b'feirish and the Rishalmi. None of the Rishonim quote the Rishalmi. The Achranim quote it. Tosis says, like the Rishalmi, that the pasuk says in Chumash ki Adam hu anefesh, the blood circulation keeps the animals alive. And if you cause bleeding, I say malikot l'kula malikot l'palga. So one is chayim shum and the tilis neshama. Even though the organism continues to live, but since the dam, the blood circulation, is what keeps the animal alive, so causing bleeding is a malach of netilas and sham. Shochet, that's the malach of shochet, that's called netilas and sham. And the Achranim point out that that's what it says in the Rishalmi. And that idea that Tosis uses the losh malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga, that expression appears in Bava Kamma in a totally different context, but it appears in Maseches Nida in the exact same context that Tosis uses it. That I say that ki adam hu anefesh, and it's called dam shanishama yotzebo. Okay, so we usually assume like this. The Rambam says that causing bleeding in a person or an animal is a malach of dosh, because you have the fluid of the blood is connected with the body, so it's disha. So the Gemara talks, Hatzot Chalozon, a person is hunting, he wants to get some trelis. Now it's a new thing in style. A lot of people are using trelis in the tzitzis. Why not? You should, if it's available, so you should. So a person hunts a Chalozon, and then he squeezes out it's not the blood of the Chalozon that keeps the Chalozon alive, it's a different fluid in the animal. We have a different kind. We have not only we have blood in our body, we have other things also going on in our body, other fluids. So this, the dam of chalazon that they use for trelis is not really the dam that keeps it alive. It's a different doctor, whatever you call it. It's a different kind of an enzyme. So the Gemara has a machlokes atzot chalazon chay mishum tzeda. What about when he squeezes it out? So he's squeezing out the fluid that's in the animal. Is that also disha? Sounds like a Rambam, that when you cause bleeding, that's a malacha of disha. And when you squeeze out the fish, the chalazon, that should also be a shayla of disha. So the Gemara says, it's a machlokes hatanaim, where they chay mishum disha, by hatzot chalazon upotzo. In Shabbos, daf tzadikei. So the Gemara said, what's the shayla? Because fish are not gidule karka. Fish are not considered gidule karka. Pashtus and behemoths are not, also not gidule karka. Gidule karka are fruits and vegetables. So the Gemara said, that's the shayla. Since disha is one of the sidur de pas, and the sidur de pas, alpi pashtus, goes on, you take flour and you make bread out of it. So that's gidule karka. So that's the machlokes, where they say, eish disha shalo be gidule karka, ein disha ala be gidule karka. And we pass can ain't disha ella bigadule karka. So Tosis says, if so, so then milking a cow that some of the many Rishonim hold milking a cow is disha. Milking a cow is disha. If you cause bleeding in the cow, Taisa said that's a different thing. That's not disha. That's natilis neshama ki adam hu anefesh, because the blood circulation keeps the animal alive. But if you just milk a cow, so Taisa assumes pashup shat that's disha. So they raise the issue. Ain disha elabigadule karka. So they say two suggestions. Maybe it's only disha midirabbanan. Maybe you're right. Maybe milking a cow is only a malocha derabbanan. And maybe it's a malocha derais, and maybe we consider cows as gidule karka because they live. Fish are not gidule karka. The chalazin is a fish. It's in the ocean. The snails, but maybe the cows, because the cows that you milk, maybe since they graze, they live off of grass, and maybe they're also considered the gidule karka. Yeah. So Tosfos raised the possibility maybe milking the cow was only a derabbanan. So the Ramban is not happy with that. Tosfos is not happy with that. Tosfos said there is a funny Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara says, if a person has some kind of a sickness and the doctors say that he needs fresh milk, gonech yonik cholav b'shabbos, he's permitted to drink the milk directly from the udder of the animal. Why? But milking an animal is a malacha. So the Gemara says, but if he drinks the milk directly, he puts his lips to the udder, that's kalachayad. That's not the normal way to milk a cow. So since it's kalachayad, and he's a choleshem basakone, so we allow it. Since it's only the rabbanan, we allow it. So Tosfos asked the kasha, but if you say that milking a cow is a malach of disha, there are 5-6 different opinions in Rishani. What is the malach in milking the cow? So Rashi quoted a shita that it's kotzer. That's what we're trying to explain. Rashi says something about kotzer. Rashi doesn't like it. So Rashi holds that it's disha. And Tosfos asks, if it's disha, but a cow is not gidule karka. So Tosfos says, maybe milking the cow is only disha midirabbanan. So the Tosfos asks, if it's only midirabbanan, so why did he tell the fellow the goneach has to drink from the cow, kelachayad, he should drink from the udder directly? That's not normal. Milking a cow is anyway midirabbanan. So it's midirabbanan. So but makam chayle, it's mutter. So we paskin has to be a shvuz de shvuz. Milking a cow is not gidule karka, so it's only disha midirabbanan, and he's doing it kelachayad, so it's a shvuz de shvuz, it's a double the rabbanan. Neither is amir liakum. He said before, it doesn't have to be. They're both a double derabon and a trade derabon, even if neither of them is a miliak. It's also a shvuz de shvuz. So, mamakam chayla lo goes a berabon. Tosfos seems to hold not so. Tosfos holds you don't even need a double derabon. All derabon is a muta. We don't really hold like that. We hold that mamakam chayla shem is hakana. You're only permitted to violate gzeris derabon. You're not permitted to violate malachas derabon. We started with that. When we started this year, we started with the dinim of chayla. So we explained that b'makom chayla shem b'sakana, if a person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, we're only mekal on some derabbanans, not at all. We're mekal on the derabbanans that are only gzeiros. But if it's a malacha derabban, they were not mekal. Anyway, this is a discussion. Okay. Okay, we're not going to finish the malacha of kotzer today. We're going to have to discuss. There's a lot more to discuss halacha lemaisa about kotzer. So the Mishnah Brura says we should do shin lamed zayin, and then after that we should do, I think, shin lamed vav. I forgot already. Where is kotzer? Yeah, shin lamed zayin we'll do, and then shin lamed vav. Okay, maybe. Maybe we'll say a little bit on Parshas Vayechi. In the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu requests of Yosef, Asisa ne'modi chesed v'emes, ano tigbereni b'mitzrayim. So Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah that the chesed she'osim amameisim is called chesed shalemes. We call the Chevra Kadisha, the Chevra of chesed shalemes. In many communities, they call them the Chevra of chesed shalemes. Chesed she'osim amachayim, it's not called chesed shalem. It's because it could be mitzapa l'tashlem schar. You can expect to be reimbursed. They will reciprocate. You did a toiva to them, they'll reciprocate to you. The Gemara has a din. Let's say I attended someone's wedding, I danced at his wedding, and I gave him a chasana matana. So when I get married, he's mechuyev to dance at my wedding to give me a chasana matana also. The Gemara says, the matana that I gave, to the chasen on the occasion of the chasen, chasen matana, is nigvis bebezin. When I get married and he doesn't want to give me the same amount, I can go to bezin asuhem. It's understood, self-understood, that there's reciprocity over here. So that's not called chesed shalemus. Chesed shos mamamaisim, it's not going to be reciprocated. That's called chesed shalemus. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out pshat and a pasuk, the Abarbanel has this. He didn't tell us it's Abarbanel, but he is straight from the Abarbanel, the pasuk in Dvorim, that encourages everyone to give tzedakah. So it says, you should give tzedakah, because there will always be poor people. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to give tzedakah. If you give tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. So the Gemara has a comment, Biglal Hadover Azeh, Biglal is Meloshin Galgal, that poverty is always a Galgal HaChayza Ba'olam. Sometimes you have a family is wealthy 10 generations in a row, and then later on they lose all the wealth. Someone invests poorly, stupidly, then they lose all their wealth. So the Pasuk says the reason why you have to give tzedakah, Ki lo yachta levi mekaretz, will never be able to conquer. We'll never be able to eradicate poverty. There will always be poor people in the world. So the pasuk is problematic because some sociologists argue it doesn't make sense to give tzedakah to try to think that you will succeed in eradicating poverty. You will never succeed in eradicating poverty. There will always be poor people. So the Chumash gives that kilo yechta mikaras. That's the reason why you should give tzedakah. So many sociologists say that's the reason why it doesn't make sense to try to give tzedakah, because you'll never be able to solve the problem. It's just a mashal l'ma'adavadayma. Let's say there's a dam that prevents the flood from coming. So I see there's a hole in the dam, so I put my hand up to prevent the water from coming. Then I see another hole, put my hand over there to prevent that water from coming. Then there's a third hole, so I only have two hands. What am I going to do? So I'll take my hand, put it over there. But the flood is going to come. You're not accomplishing anything by putting your hands. There were holes all over the place. So how does the Torah give that as the reason? Ki lo yechta levim, the care of hearts is the reason why you have to give tzedakah. That should be an explanation why it doesn't make sense to give tzedakah. You're not accomplishing anything. But that's what Abarbanel says. No, the pshat is like this. You mechuyev to give tzedakah because others are mechuyev to give to you. Right now, I'm on top of the world. I'm a multimillionaire, but poverty is a galgal achaze ba'olam. Chazal said on the word ki biglal adavar hazeh, poverty is a galgal achaze ba'olam. So even if you will never be poor, maybe in 10 generations from now, your descendants will be poor and they will be in need of charity. So you mechuyev to give to others because others mechuyev to give back to you. There's a chiyev to give tzedakah that you give to the chayim is based on the idea of reciprocity. You mechuyev to give others and mechuyev to give to you. That's why meikar adin, there's no chiyev to give tzedakah to Nochrim, because the Nochrim are not mechuyev to reciprocate. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out such a Rambam. Nochrim are not mechuyev to reciprocate, so therefore we're not mechuyev to give to them. It's interesting. The Gemara says, "Mefarsim aniyei yakum, im aniyei yisam ipnei darkei shalom." It's only midrabbanan that you give to aniyei yakum. But the Rambam understands aniyei yakum is midrabbanan only means of the avodah zarah akum, of the kochavim and mazolos. If he's a nice Nochri who doesn't worship avodah zarah, the Rambam says, then you mechuyev to give tzedakah sans menatorah, because the pasuk says, "V'racham avakol masav." We have a pasuk, "V'halachta bedrachu." You have to go in the ways of Hashem. So just like Hakadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on the dumb animals, Baruch Hu has rachmanis on the behemoths. So we have to have rachmanis on human beings also. It's like gora from Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "V'racham avakol masav." It's included in "V'halachta bedrachu." If he's an avid avodizar, then he doesn't deserve. Then he lost his chus because he's avid avodizar. So that's only midrabbanan, mishum darkei shalom. V'arasam ani yakim, ani yisam ipnei darkei shalom. But if he's a nachri who's not oibir abarizara, then despite the fact that there is no reciprocity, he's not mechuyev to give back to me, you're mechuyev to give me tam, v'racham abba kol masav halachta bedrachu. So it means like this, we usually divide the mitzvahs into two categories. We say there are mitzvahs ben adam l'amakam and mitzvahs ben adam l'chaver. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted in a few different places that he says on different psukim in Tanakh, different places in Tanakh, and the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Lamed, that there are three categories of mitzvahs. There's Ben Adam L'Amokam, Ben Adam L'Chaver, Ben Adam L'Atzmo. Ben Adam L'Atzmo means the mitzvah of Halachta B'drachav. Man was created at Tzelem Elokim, and we were instructed to go in the ways of Hashem to preserve the Tzelem Elokim. So the obligation to give tzedakah to Israel is ben adam achaveru. We mukhiv to give to them, in exchange for which they mukhiv to give back to us. Like I agree to work on a job, and the boss agrees to pay me the money. I'm a poil, there's an inyan of schiras poilim. So here we mukhiv to give tzedakah to others, so I'm mukhiv to reciprocate the gift to us if in the future we will be in need, or our descendants will be in need. And then there's a mechiyuv to give to aniyei nochrim who are not of the avodah zarah v'rachma v'kol ma'aseh. That's a mitzvah bin adam li'atzmo, just like v'halachta b'drachim, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's v'rachma v'kol ma'aseh. So we should have rachmanis on the dumb animals and on everybody also. But if he's a nochri of the avodah zarah, then not. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Medrash over here. Any gemilas chasadim that you do with the chayim is always based on reciprocity. So that's not called chesed shalemis. That's chesed, but there's going to be reciprocity. Chesed that you do with the mesim is not going to reciprocate. So that's a midah. That's for halachta b'drachim. That's really ben adam le'atzmo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, but salam al-kin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about chesed. So from all the midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara and Yuma, once a note came down from heaven, and it was signed Emes. So the Chachamim in the days of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they understood Chosam Moshal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. When the Ribbono Shel Olam signs his name, he signs Emes. What does it mean? The Midas of Emes apparently is the Ike Midah. From all of the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gam Chasadim, Refu Chelim, and everything, said Ike Midas, Midas Emes, whatever that means. So that means. Chesed Shoisim Imamesim and Chesed Shalem is that Baturis Ben Odom Leatzmo. That's Baturis Vahalachta Bedrochot, because you're not going to expect the reciprocity. And this reciprocity is not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily mean that this person is going to give back to me. Maybe in 10 generations, his great 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 grandchild is going to give to my great great grandchild who will be in need. There's always going to be reciprocity. So there's such a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara tells there was an old man who was planting a tree. He was already in his 80s. He's planting a tree. And the nature of the tree was such that it won't give forth any fruits for another 25 years. So the guy thinks he's going to live another 25 years. He's already holding by the end of his life. What is he planting a tree? So someone confronted him and said, what are you planting this kind of a tree? You won't live so long. The seed of Perisay says, but I came into the world, the earlier generations, I planted trees, which I enjoyed. So I feel responsible to reciprocate. I have to give back to mankind. So all of mankind has such a chiyuv. We're obligated to do for others, the whole world, in exchange for which the others are obligated to do for us. There's reciprocity not only between Reuben and Shimon, two individuals, but there's reciprocity when mechuyev to do for mankind, in exchange for which mankind is mechuyev to do for us. So that's an important rashi. This is relevant to in halacha also. When you talk about kavod habrias is sometimes derech dinim derabbanon. Is it only kavod achayim or is it even kavod amesim? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes there's a big meiri in the tshuvas of the meiri that's called magen avos. When the Ramban passed away, so the Talmid Ramban went to southern France to Provence to learn by the Chachmei Provence. So one of the big issues the Adam Achleikis was about kvuras ames on Yom Tov Rishon. What can you do? Do you say all the rabbanos are muta mishum kavod amesim? Or no, only kavod habrias, only kavod achayim, not kavod amesim. Kavod achayim means a shibud ben adam achaveru. Kavod amesim is a chesed shalemus. It's a different thing, two different things. Kavod achayim, kavod amesim are two different things. Okay, Belinetta, next week we'll have to continue with kotzer. Kotzer is a lot of dinim de rabbanon based on the din of kotzer. Well, Linetta will continue next. Everyone should be healthy. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Yashiko.
Thank you very much, Rabbi. Have a good night.
You too. How do you turn this off?